the bride of Solomon did over in Song of Solomon chapter 2. It said, "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, come away. For the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land." With that in mind, this is how I feel. Verse 9. "My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice." As they sang the song about him coming, I could almost see him. Looking through that lattice work. I believe it's just about that close.
Amen.
Brother Dempsey said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." We want to thank you as best we can, this church and this pastor, for inviting us to come just to be here. You know, when time comes to come, I get to dreading the 600 miles up here and the 600 miles back. I always love to be here. Never any question about that at all. It's just the going and the coming. But then as I begin to think and remember of what happened the year before, my spirits begin to pick up and I head up here. But it'd be worth the trip, whatever it is, just to be here if you didn't get to preach. But I guarantee you there's not a preacher here tonight that wouldn't like to be where I am right now. Every one of you, wouldn't you? You know, after what the Lord has done, sure you would. If you don't, you ought to examine your call. I wish I was mentally and physically and even spiritually able to present the message the way I'd like to present it. And I know that when we do what we can, the Lord's pleased, but you'd always like to do better, you know. And I wish I could, but we're thankful for the privilege of doing whatever, ever how it may turn out, we're thankful for that privilege tonight. And if God's pleased to bless where you are blessed in it, then you praise Him for it. If He doesn't, then you pray for me. Because if it's a failure, it's certainly not His fault. I thought about just a few minutes ago as I sat back there at this conference. What's happened? And I hope I don't offend anyone. If I do, if you'll tell me, I'll be glad to apologize to you after service. But old brother, real kind of shook this thing loose today, brothers and sisters. There's no question about it. Every sermon's been a great sermon, but I tell you, he got a hold of the Lord, and the Lord got a hold of him, and things happen, and that's just the truth of the matter, and I think everyone has admitted it. But the thing that was such a blessing to me was that, you know, that possibility, if the Lord don't come back, that when I'm 76 years old, I might be able to do that. The truth, Brother Harvey Seamus Adams said, Brother Smith said, "I wish I thought I could do that if I ever get to be 76 years old." What I'm talking about is the way he praised and lifted up and honored and glorified God. But I'm thankful for every message. And I thought about there was any one theme in this conference. It would certainly have to be the theme of giving all the honor and all the glory to God. Brother Phillips preached on God's mission plan. And he told us the way God wanted it. And if we operate that way, it'll work. Because God gets the glory for it. Brother Eugene Clark talked about the things that delight God. Not our wisdom, not our wealth, and not our might, but God's. Brother Bill Titus preached on the Lordship of Christ. Brother Kissel talking about, and this is not exactly the way he said it, I can't get it verbatim, but he's talking about taking the things of God for granted. You know, we just get accustomed to them, just take them for granted. Almost like, well, God owes them to us and they're nothing special anyhow. Almost like this conference. Brother Dempsey said, I tell you, God bless us, we have them, we just get to taking them for granted. What would it be like, folks, if God just cut them off and we didn't get to see any other preacher, any other church for a while? And then, Brother Gordon, grace of God, and you don't get any better than that. I mean, that's just as good as you get. The amazing grace of God. Brother Hall talking about Jesus Christ, our servant, willing servant. Brother Hamill talking about Christ, our judge. Brother Hancock talking about the Word of God and its power and how we ought to take heed and hear it. Brother Sinek talking about there's a God in heaven. And right after he got through preaching, Brother Connor got to preaching, I thought, yeah, and there's a God here on the earth too. Not just in heaven, folks, he's here. Amen. Then Brother Harvey talking about how God changes us, keeps on changing us, and finally one day we'll finally change us. Brother Mitchell Smith talking about Christ's atonement and his intercession for us. And then Brother Henderson talking about that we're in the Lord's army. That's why, folks, if you're in the Lord's army, it doesn't matter if you are 76 years old. You don't quit. There's still something to do. Isn't that glorious, folks? I tell you right now, in this world today, when you get about 60, whatever it is, and some earlier than that, you just sort of quit, you know, because you just take for granted that you're not any good anymore. You know, when you get that old and all played out. But folks, it's not that way for the Lord. You don't never play out for the Lord. You just keep on and on as long as he leaves you here. You just keep serving. Honoring and glorifying the Lord. Well, the thing that I fear more than anything else tonight is that my sermon's been preached over and over again. They all done a good job. That's what really scares me. If they'd have just preached it and made a flop out of it, I wouldn't worry about it too much. But they did a good job. God blessed them, and I'm glad that he did. I'm honest about that, folks. Whether I flop or not, I'm glad that God blessed them when they preached it. Amen. I enjoy good preaching. Amen. My wife gets aggravated at me everywhere I go. I turn my radio on. I try to get some preaching. She wants to listen to music or something, you know. I guess she gets enough of that preaching. She said, you going to listen to preaching again? And sometimes I listen to something not too good. I learn from it anyhow. But I love good preaching, folks. I'm honest about it. I enjoy hearing somebody preach. Preach the Word of God. But you pray for me tonight that God will be pleased to use this message first and foremost to glorify him. And then secondly, of course, to be a blessing to all of us here tonight. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2, if you will. And I begin reading in verse 1 and read to verse 11. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're going to stop in verse 10. Now, my subject tonight is his workmanship, or God's workmanship, as you find in verse 10. But I want to just call your attention to one or two other things here. By way of introduction, if you want to use that term, whatever that means. But in God's workmanship, we're talking about more than just saving us from the penalty of sin. We're talking about more than just being delivered from the torments of hell. Brother Conn, I think, expressed that so well today. Salvation is back from before the beginning to on past the end, if there is an end. as far as I'm concerned, the end that we think about is here in this life. Salvation is eternal in its beginning, and it's eternal, and of course there is no ending, but it's eternal all the way. And salvation includes all of that. And notice it said here, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, talking about before we were saved, in sins hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. Not only has he saved us, but he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. We are on the same level tonight as far as God is concerned. We are on the same level as Jesus Christ, because he's our representative. God looks at him. He doesn't look at you and I. Folks, our hope is not in whether you and I hold out, but our hope is whether or not he holds out tonight. Amen. And our security and our standing is just as sure as Jesus' security and standing. So he has saved us. He is saving us. And notice in verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He has, he is, and he shall ever take care of us as his children. And you know, Malachi talks about his jewels. And folks, that's what we're going to be one day. We're going to be the jewels on display of God's grace. You know, as Brother Mitchell Smith said, that overwhelms me. That God could ever use me in any kind of display for anything. But folks, he's going to do that. We're going to be a display, our jewels of God's grace. He created us and then he took us, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but by placing us in a New Testament church, had us all shined up and ready to glow for him in this life and in the ages to come. That's what we're going to do. His workmanship. Now the definition of workmanship, this in the English word workmanship in the original, and I made sure about that. I went in Brother Titus' office and looked it up. I had this written down. I thought it was right. I written it some time past, but I wanted to be sure. And so I'm giving you this definition so you'll understand what I'm talking about. Now, I don't know whether it's your definition or not, but this is what I'm talking about tonight when I'm talking about God's workmanship. It means to exit from, to come from, to produce, going forth from, to create, manufacture, proprietorship, acquire, or to own. Folks, you and I tonight that are children of God, we came from God. Amen. He produced us. Amen. He manufactured us. We came forth from him. He created us, and he owns us where he is tonight. Amen. We're his property. Amen. His workmanship. Jonah declared that salvation is of the Lord. And folks, he knew what he was talking about. And I tell you, if you've been saved by grace like old Jonah did, you know what he's talking about. Salvation is of the Lord. And I tell you, if you ever get a hold of that, if you ever really understand what it means to be saved by the marvelous grace of God, I'll tell you the doctrines of election, predestination, all of that, I'll tell you will bring joy and gladness to your heart such as you've never known before. I tell you, there's a joy in knowing that it's of God, and nobody can take it away from you, folks. It's his. We're his. We belong to him, and nobody can take us out of his hands. We're his workmanship. We belong to him. Salvation is not just a decision or a transaction or an experience. It is all of these. It certainly is a decision. Absolutely. Folks, when I got saved, I decided to get saved. I wanted to be saved. It was the greatest desire in my heart, folks. I absolutely decided it. Of course, the reason I decided, because God had already decided, you know. And it certainly was a transaction taking place. And it really was an experience. But it's much more than that. Salvation is God entirely saving the whole man for all eternity. It's totally a work of God. All man has to do with his salvation is just receiving that which God has already worked out. We're his workmanship. I want to tell you something, and then We're going to get right into the message. I don't know how many months ago it was. Several months ago, last summer sometime, one Sunday morning, a young lady came to our church. I believe she was 22 or 23 years old. Came from up in Wisconsin. She was working for United Chiropractic people. She's a chiropractor, and they sent her down to Clarkston to start working in an office they were opening there. And a lady that worked for her goes to a church just up the road a little ways for her. She did work for her. I guess she still does. And they were going to have some people up there sing at that church. And she invited her to come up to her church Sunday morning to hear these people sing. But something happened. She stopped before she got there. She stopped at Faith Missionary Baptist Church. She came in that Sunday morning, sat in the services. And that's been, as I said, several months ago. I don't remember how long ago, but sometime last summer. And you know, she hasn't missed over four or five services since then. Anyhow, she came a few services, and then she asked if she'd come over to our house and talk with me one day. And we said yes, and she came, and Brother Dempsey got to meet her. I know what I'm talking about, Margot Staskell. And she met Brother Dempsey. But anyhow, she came over to the house one, I believe it was one Saturday or sometime during the week. Had lunch with my wife and I. Then she and I sat in the den. I began to talk to her. And I talked to her about being saved and all that. And she told me all she knew, she belonged to some kind of Methodist, I've forgotten, up in Wisconsin. And she said, all I know anything about, I was sprinkled when I was a baby. Then when I was 12 years old, I was confirmed. And a member of the church and told I was all right. Now, Daddy taught a Sunday school class in that Methodist church. And we began to talk a little while. And I told her about, first of all, you've got to know you're lost before you can ever get saved. And I said, you're a sinner. And she's a very sweet, moral, clean girl. She doesn't even have a television. I don't know if she's even got a radio or not. She doesn't go to any kind of party. She doesn't go to the movies or anything like that. I mean, very morally clean. She had a mother and father that raised her good, folks. They taught her that much. Because that's all they got out of that church. That's all they knew to teach her, but they taught her that. Very, very fine young girl. And I told her, I said, you've got to be lost first. And she said, I've already heard enough in your preaching to know I'm lost. She said, I know I'm lost. And I said, well, Jesus Christ is the only one can save you. She says, I know that. I said, somehow or another, I just can't do it yet. I said, well, you're the only one who can. I can't do it. Can't do it for you. And you never will till the Lord brings you to that place where you want to do that more than anything else. Then I said, she met Brother Dempsey. Brother Dempsey went up to the office and he talked to her. And I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 months ago, one Sunday morning, that young lady came forward and said, Brother Smith, I've been saved and I want to be baptized and become a member of this church. But she told me in that den, the day before she was saved, she said, Brother Smith, I know the Lord brought me here. Amen. Wasn't an accident when she came to Faith Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. No accident about that, folks. I told one of our members, he's not too old, a member that hadn't been there too long, and I told him, I said, Brother Wicks, this lady came by accident. That was right in the beginning. I mean, what I meant was she intended to go to the church. He said, no, Brother Smith, she's not here by accident. So he's smarter than his pastor was. But she wasn't. What I'm saying tonight, folks, is that we, God's people, are His workmanship. Amen. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works that He has foreordained that we ought to walk in them. That we should walk in them. Workmanship of God. Notice with me, if you will, tonight, for a little while here, some facts that the Scripture has to say about God. We are the workmanship of God. And then I want to give you a good example of that workmanship. A scriptural example too. First of all, God's workmanship for the sinner in the past. Notice here in our scripture that we read in verse 2. It said, "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." We were dead spiritually. We were dead. Not just sick, as someone said, but we were dead. And as I heard Brother Henderson say one time, folks, when you're dead, you can't do anything but stink. And I want to tell you something, as he went on to say, you can't even stink by yourself. It takes bacteria to do that. You can't do anything if you're dead. So, we were dead. I'm talking about what God did for us in the past as far as his workmanship on us is concerned. Not only were we dead, but we were eternally lost. Without God and without hope in this world. Not only that, but we were unable to do anything about it or to help ourselves.
Amen. Amen.
Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 says, when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for us.
Amen.
John 6 and 44 says that we cannot come to Christ except God the Father brings. We can't do anything. Folks, we're dead and we're lost and unable to help ourselves. Not only that, but John 5 and 40 says, we don't want to do anything about it. Ye will not come to me that you might have life. We're satisfied in that state. How did God work for us? Or how did God work on us in the past? Well, look here in Ephesians chapter 1, if you will, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. How did he work for us in the past? He chose us. Heard a fellow preach over in 1 Kings the other day about Solomon sending the workmen out, the stone inspectors, to inspect the stones. And they'd choose them. Then they'd take the burden bearers and say, tell the burden bearers, say, you take those stones, you carry them over here, and the ones that square them up, and you chisel on them, and you work on them until they fit in that temple. Yeah. Folks, that's exactly what God did. He chose us. And then he sent some burden bearers along to preach the gospel to us. And they preached the gospel. And he took us out. And then he set us in a church to chisel on us where we'd fit after a while.
Amen.
Pick up that temple for him.
Amen.
Verse 11 of Ephesians 1. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. How did he work for us in the past? He chose us. And according to his own plan, worked everything out for us. For we'd turn out according to his will.
Amen.
You know, old Rahab, and I don't have time to get into all this, but you go back over to Deuteronomy chapter 1, and the children of Israel down Mount Seir, and it said it was just 11 days' journey up to Kadesh Barnea. And they could have headed right on into Canaan's land. But instead of that, you know what happened to the spies? And it all seemed like an accident. Here they came. 10 of them brought back an evil report. And God said, all right, as a result of that, you're going to wander 40 years in the wilderness. And so it was 40 years later before they ever got up to Jericho, where old Rahab lived on the wall up at Jericho. Folks, I want to tell you, God taught Israel a valuable lesson out in the wilderness, but there was more to that story than just the children of Israel in the wilderness. You know what happened? God was getting old Rahab ready on the wall of Jericho for two messages to meet her up there. 40 years later, folks, God took a whole nation of people, his chosen people, and used them to bring out the salvation of one old heart. That's what God did for us in the past, folks. Rahab to be in Jericho wasn't an accident. Brother Connor said about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and Peter and Cornelius. Wasn't an accident, those two messengers of Israel and Rahab met together down in Jericho. Man, God had that plan way back yonder, even before the 40 years. I know what the Bible says, back before the foundation of the world. I know about God working for us in the past. He purposed to save us. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13, Paul said, I thank God. And then went on to say, how God had chosen us unto salvation before the beginning of time. And then his workmanship in the present for sinners. Look in verse 17 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. His workmanship on us in the present. Look in verse 12 of chapter 1. That we should be to the praise of His glory. Now notice how this word, who first trusted in Christ. But now notice what it said. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Let me read something to you. I think this puts it together. Look with me in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That's His work for us in the past. And I notice verse 3. But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Amen. Folks, God's workmanship for you and I is in the preaching of the gospel, bringing us to conviction. Amen. Of our sinful condition. 1 Corinthians 1:21, well, verse 20, I believe it is, it said that after by the wisdom of the world man still didn't know God. With all the wisdom the world had, still didn't know God. It pleased God. And you go before that, it says that was God's plan. Folks, if the wisdom of the world could have told us about God, we'd have glorified the world. But it was God's plan that couldn't happen. And then so it says in 21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Amen. To save those that believe. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Most people get this hind part before. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they believe in Him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Sure, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. But you're not going to call upon someone you've never heard about. You're not going to believe in someone you don't know about. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You believe because somebody told you, and that telling to you gave you faith, and you believed in it. That is God's workmanship in the present. Over in Joshua chapter 2, Rahab again, an example of this. I can't read all of these, but you know the story of how God sent the messengers there to Jericho. And in verse 9 it said, and she said unto them, Rahab, unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Now notice, for we have heard how the Lord gave you the victory. Died in the Red Sea and won the victory over the other kingdom. We've heard. That's how Rahab believed. She heard, and then she believed. God's workmanship in the present. No accident, folks. Absolutely. The plan and purpose of God. Then look with me again in the second chapter of Ephesians, if you will. Not only God's workmanship for us in the past and in the present, but His workmanship is what brings peace to mind in your heart. Look again in 17. And came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that are nigh. I don't know what all that means. But you know, heard Brother Harvey say a few minutes ago, early this afternoon, then heard Brother Hancock say last night about how they was before they were saved. And I hope this don't offend either one of them. Don't think it would. Didn't one say it. Brother Hancock lived a very wicked life. And he'll tell you right now, he's still paying the consequences of it. Brother Harvey did. Thank God I did. I was raised in a Christian home, went to Sunday school all my life. Wasn't a drunkard. Never committed fornication or adultery. And I want to tell you something, folks. I don't believe I missed out on a thing. Right. Amen. I thank God for it. Amen. What I want to tell you, though, folks, it took just as much the grace of God to save me as it did Clyde Hancock. I just as lost, folks. Amen. Just as lost. And the reason I say it wasn't because I was a good little Sunday school boy. I tell you the reason I was saved because of God's workmanship in the past. God's workmanship in the present. And the reason I've got peace in my heart tonight is not because I was a good boy, but it's because of God's workmanship on me, folks, today. I've got peace in my heart by His cross, verse 16 said, that we were made near by the blood of the cross.
made near to Christ. Not only that, but the Bible also tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, having made peace through the blood of His cross. That's why I've got peace tonight, folks. In my heart, peace that passeth understanding. I remember I didn't get there just as soon as Dorothy passed away. Brother Clark, and again, that was the grace of God. Brother, God had Brother Clark there with Brother Dempsey. You know, he could have been well off down in Brazil, or could have been somewhere between here and Brazil, but he did have a good pastor in there with him. And I know Brother Dempsey told me about it. And when she first passed away, because he just about went to pieces. I don't know what it's like. It hadn't happened to me. But I can imagine. I remember Thomas said, Brother Clark, come in. And I don't know the exact word, but said to him, Brother Dempsey, you remember what you preached and said? And then God gave him peace. See, that's security in the blood of the cross. Folks, His workmanship gives us peace. Oh, Rahab. Over in the book of Joshua. You remember what those children of those two messengers told them? She said when they got ready to leave after she'd hit them, they said, you know, is there something we can do? Well, she said, yeah, I'll tell you what. So when you come back in to take this city, see, there wasn't any doubt in her mind. She believed in God. She knew God was going to give them the victory over that city, Jericho. Nobody else had ever won victory, but she knew God was. And so she said, when you come back in, I wish you'd save me and my house. You know what they told her? Said, here's a token. Said, we're going to give you the scarlet cord. And said, when you see us coming in the land, you hang that cord out the window. And whoever's in your house, we're going to save. I can see old Rahab, you know, when things got pretty bad, everything, and she hadn't seen them yet, and she wondered what was going on. But she could look out of that scarlet cord, and she had peace in her heart. Amen. She knew it was coming.
Amen.
She knew it was there. And I'll tell you something else about it. She didn't wait till she saw them coming. She hung it out just as soon as they left. I tell you, folks, that scarlet cord identified her with God's people. She was under the covenant of God and under His safety. And every time she looked at it, it gave her peace.
Amen.
I want to tell you something, folks. If you're saved by the grace of God, His workmanship in the past and the present,
Amen.
He's given you peace. Folks, I want to tell you something. You ought to identify yourself with God's
Amen,
people.
Amen.
You ought to hang that cord out. Let everybody know who you are.
Amen.
Don't wait till you see the Lord coming. Let them know who you are. Tell you how to do it. Get in a good Baptist church with scriptural baptism and take the ordinances of the church and everybody will know who you are. I want to tell you something. Brother Hancock talking about a dangling participle. I don't know about dangling a participle, but I can sure tell you how to dangle that scarlet cord. Just let everybody know who you belong to. Join a good church, folks. Somebody said you shouldn't join a church, Lord, add you. I want to tell you, if He adds you, you'll surely join it. You don't just become a member. You'll join it. You'll be part of it. You'll get involved in it. Then something else. Notice this chapter, if you will, about God's workmanship. God broke down the middle wall of partition. We is without God and without hope. Strangers to the covenant that God had made with Israel. But look with me, if you will, in verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. Folks, there's no hope for us Gentiles. There wasn't any covenant for us Gentiles as far as that covenant with Israel was concerned. Look up in verse 14. For he, talking about Jesus, is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. I'm talking about God's workmanship, folks. Adios. You remember what Jesus said over in John chapter 10? Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. To bring them, folks, he had to break down that wall.
Amen.
and he broke it there in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments that kept us away from God. He broke down that wall, and we came into the presence of God. When the veil of the temple was rent, we could walk in before God.
Amen.
Oh, Rahab the harlot. You know how she got a hope? I'll tell you how she got it, folks. She was a Gentile. She was a Canaanite. They came to Jericho. God told Joshua, said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, you take the priests up there and you march around that city for 7 days. 6 days. Then the seventh day, I want you to march around it 7 times and blow the ram's horn. I can see those Jerichoites, they thought that's about the most foolish thing they'd ever seen. Well, they'd face people with their weapons. They wasn't afraid of them. But I'll tell you, before that 13th time was around, I can sort of imagine that curiosity's about to get the best of them. But I can see Rahab up there, she knew every time they went around, he's getting a little closer and a little closer. Finally, they blew the ram's horns, and those walls came tumbling down. And for the first time, folks, old Rahab mixed in with the Jews. She sure did. She became a part of that people. That's what happened to you and I, my friend. When Christ Jesus went to die on the cross, he broke down that wall. And we do have a promise. We do have a covenant established back before the world began. It came real to you and I. Folks, there's no more Jew nor Greek or bond or free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 19, his workmanship in opposition today as a child of God. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I said a few minutes ago, we got the same standing as Jesus Christ tonight. And boy, you don't get any better than that. That's just the best you can get. I want to tell you, you can have your baptism. I'm talking about these people baptize you to get saved. You can have your sprinkling, your confirming. You can have all the works that you want to and everything else. But I still take the position Jesus Christ has got. Think about W.A. Criswell. And I read this one time and I've never forgotten it. Was one time W.A. Criswell wasn't any more than you and I. Probably still wouldn't be if he hadn't been in the Southern Baptist Convention. But he got in there and politics, you know, put him up top of the ladder and everybody knew it. But anyhow, he said when he was just a young man and he was saved, and God called him to preach and he began to go out to churches and preach. And he said, this old fellow would stand up and he'd tell about how he walked down the path and a ball of fire fell down and rolled down his path and he saw the Lord. And that's how he knew he was going to heaven. Some old lady over here talked about a light shining through the window. And she had a fainting spell and fell out. That's how she knew she was going to get into heaven. He said, I heard that here and yonder and everywhere. Said, finally, I thought just being a young preacher, W.A. Criswell, how in the world do you think you're going to get in heaven? You've never seen nothing like that. You've never seen a ball of fire. You never had a fainting spell. No light shine through a window, anything like that. How are you going to get in heaven? He said, I got to thinking about it. Praying about it. And said, I just thought, what am I going to say? One of these days when I stand before God, and he looks down at me and says, W.A. Criswell, why should I let you into my heaven? He said, all I could say was, that you said if I believe in your Son that died on Calvary's cross, that he cleansed me from all sin, and I have eternal life, I believe, and I'm coming in. Folks, that's how you get in there.
Amen.
He's the door, and if you go in, you go into him.
Amen.
Got the same standing he has.
Amen.
Read over the roll call of the faithful, Hebrews chapter 11. Man, it mentions some great people in there. It sure does. Old Abraham. Of course, Moses. It mentions Abraham's wife, Sarah. She's called a princess. Princess. She was. She was a princess. But I tell you what, you go on a little further. That 11th chapter, and you read about a prostitute, a penniless pagan prostitute named Rahab. And folks, she's got the same standing as the princess has. You know why? Because of the workmanship of God. Isn't that glorious tonight to know, my friend, that you and I tonight, the Bible tells us that we're going to, one of these days, we're going to reign with Him as kings and priests. I mean no disrespect to Abraham, none of those fellows, those ladies in that Bible, but I'm telling you tonight, in Jesus Christ, you've got the same standing they've got. Our position tonight is by the workmanship of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6 said He made us accepted in the Beloved. Folks, the only reason any of us is acceptable in God's sight is because He made us accepted. He created us. He manufactured us where we'd be accepted. And I want to tell you, when He gets through with us, we're going to be just exactly like He wants us. What Romans 8 and 29 says, that's what Romans 8 and 28 is all about. The reason all things are going to work together for good is because He called us, He justified us, He glorified us, and when He gets through with us, verse 29 says, we're going to be just like His Son. Why not? We are His sons. He's just Jesus, just the firstborn. And now many brothers. Workmanship. Brother Harvey, I believe, once said, thank God I'm not what I was. Thank God I'm not what I'm going to be yet, because He's not through with me. He's still working on me. But then, one last thing in the same chapter. He didn't just work us all out and get us saved, and then He's still working on us to get us sanctified, and then going to glorify us. But I want to tell you something, something else involved in His workmanship too. Look with me down in verse 19. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. And He's talking about New Testament folks. Now talking about back in the Old Testament days of Abraham. He's talking to Ephesian Christians. And He says, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, and whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I'll tell you something else He done, folks. He worked out one place of worship for us. That's that chiseling I'm talking about. That's where He's shaping us up. Folks, when He first saved us, none of us would fit in that temple. Why? We were all out of shape. But when He gets through with us, we're going to fit not only in the temple, but in the exact place He wants us to fit. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 says He sets us in His church as it pleases Him.
Amen. Amen.
Now, it's always been God's plan and purpose to worship in one chosen place. In the Old Testament, you read Deuteronomy chapter 12, said at Jerusalem you'd worship. When Solomon got through the temple, God told him, after they dedicated the temple, God said, my eyes will be upon this place. And to my people which are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear them. And whatever their problem are, I'll hear them and I'll heal them if you come to this place to do it. Folks, in the New Testament, He's got a place too. And worship anywhere else. You know, somebody said, well, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to be a member of church to worship God. When you don't do it, you're sinning. It's absolute rebellion against God. Somebody said, I don't have to be baptized. You do unless you want to rebel against God. He told you to. The same one that said repent and believe also said be baptized. One of them is just as much command as the other. And so He worked out a place for us to worship. And it's been an eternal plan. It wasn't an afterthought of God. When He found out the Jews weren't going to receive Christ, and He said, I've got to come up with another plan. So He come up finally after the day of Pentecost when they all got excited and filled with the Holy Spirit, and he started him at church. No, you're wrong about that. Look for me in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now notice, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Back before it was ever revealed to mankind, God had a plan that his grace be revealed by his church.
Amen. Amen.
All worked out by God. Who was it preaching here the other night? Referred to Revelation chapter 1, verse 2. When he's talking about chapter 1, chapter 2, those seven churches. Said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen, folks, I'm not saying you can't learn anything, but you'll never learn the truth that you ought to know unless you remember one of the Lord's churches.
Amen.
I said a few minutes ago, Romans 10, 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And folks, the only place you're going to hear all the word of God is in a good, sound missionary Baptist church. If you're going to learn it, you got to hear it. You'll never believe it till you hear it. If you don't hear it, you won't believe it. And if you go to some church that don't preach it, you won't hear it. So God worked this all out. He organized and commissioned his church, as Brother Phillips preached. He saves and adds to his kind of church. You might say, well, what about the example of old Rahab in there? When she hung that cord out the window, she identified herself with God's people that were to worship in Jerusalem. Worship that God. And folks, I want to tell you tonight, if you've been saved and you realize it was God's workmanship back in the past for you, in the present for you, his workmanship brought peace to your heart tonight and positioned you. And you know another thing about old Rahab? She's called Rahab the harlot. So you get over in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. It gives the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And there she's just called Rahab.
Yeah.
Don't say anything about being a harlot. You know why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Brother, the blood of Jesus Christ, it doesn't make any difference what you've been. If you're under the blood of Jesus Christ, you're just plain old Garner Smith or baptized, saved by the marvelous grace of God.
Amen.
You ought to get in the church. Serve it. Why in the world wouldn't you want to serve?
Amen.
Old Polycarp, I believe it was, they said when they finally came and arrested him, tried to get him to deny his Savior. Now forget the exact words, this is not verbatim, but I believe he must have been 86 years old, something like that. And he said, for 86 years, my Savior has never denied me or left me. So I'm certainly not going to deny him now. Folks, I want to tell you tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, you know that God chose you way back down before the world began. And then he worked on you and brought you to salvation. And he saved you and gave you peace in your heart. What reason would you have for not to serve him tonight? Can you give me one good reason for not being a member of his church? Because this is what he said. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Don't you want to glorify such a wonderful God tonight? If you do, get in his church and serve him. Hang that cord out, that scarlet cord. That's what baptism is. It pictures it, in the Lord's Supper, pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You say, I belong to these people. I'm in the Lord's army, and I'm going to keep on fighting. Hang it out there and let everybody see it.
Amen.
Okay.